Well, good morning, everybody. How are you this morning? Great to be with you. Hope you had a good week and that you're refilling and refreshing for the week ahead. Or maybe you didn't have a good week, and hopefully that new worship song that we sung just before communion, one of my favorite new songs, is reminding you that you can have hope in every situation, even in the middle of the storm. And ready or not, we are into week two of our message series called Blueprint this morning, all about the relationships that we are building. Because whatever your status, your relationship status, whatever the nature of your relationships, all of them need good construction, regular maintenance, and the right kind of features to thrive. And we're using this analogy of a well-built house on a firm foundation. And this week we are talking about the front door, because who you let in through the front door will shape who you are. The front door of our church is actually this, our weekly gathering. And so we're glad you're here. Welcome to the front door. We hope that you are enjoying it. But I do have to give you a little bit of a challenge. If you've been coming to LifeBridge for more than a couple of months and all you've experienced is the front door, our weekly worship gathering, then you're missing out on a ton of growth, which is why we have connection opportunities like First Step, growth opportunities like Rooted, because we want to get you through the front door and inside experiencing the house. Because you can't live on the front doorstep, can you? I know what my kids have done when they end up on the other side of the front door. True growth and true grace happens on the inside. It's kind of ironic for me personally talking on this analogy of blueprint, because I have absolutely no reference point or understanding of how to interpret blueprints or technical drawings or design drawings. They're like a foreign language to me, like American used to be. It's like blueprint, right? Or black print on blue, whatever. When I used to take that class, that mandatory class, technical drawing, back in my school days, I would just go to my happy place. I appreciate that you need good designs and a good blueprint to have a well-built house. And in fact, in the Old Testament, there's quite a bit of print dedicated to describing how to build the Lord's house or the temple, or as it's called in the Old Testament, the tabernacle. I've read those parts of the Bible, but I do have to admit that my mind may have wandered just a little bit when I was reading those parts, like the list of names, you know, the genealogies and the lineages and all that kind of thing. But I do remember the writer of Psalm 127 declaring that unless the Lord builds a house, the builders labor in vain. Amen. Or the writer of Joshua, who, when challenging readers to work out what and who they stood for, lest they fall for anything, declared in chapter 4, verse 15, "As for me and my house, we will
worship the Lord."
See, you know that verse, because it appears in entranceways and powder rooms of Christian homes all around the world in fancy, bold lettering, right? But do we actually live it out? For those that know me, you'll know that I'm an extrovert, kind of an extreme extrovert. Am I in good company this morning? There's some extreme extroverts in the room. Come on. We love people. We love people. We love hanging out. We love connecting. We love networking. We love socializing. But the older I get, the more I'm realizing that I also need recharge time. So I appreciate my home, my haven, my escape, my retreat. I love being king of my castle. I like driving down my street and hitting that magic button in the car that miraculously opens the garage door, driving in, hit the button again, head for my wardrobe where I change into my sweats. That's important for me. Or if it's after 5 o'clock and I'm not going anywhere, maybe my PJs. And heading to the kitchen and working on some chips and salsa action and a can of LaCroix or a caffeinated beverage or something. And heading to my favorite spot on the couch. Who's following me? Come on, can you picture me just hanging out? Come on. Sports on the TV helps, or Netflix. Pretty much a remote helps. You know who you are. Come on. Can you see me just chillaxing? And then this happens. What do you do? Do you answer it? Do you ignore it? Do you get up, or do you just get really quiet? Do you turn the volume down? Do you dim the lights? Do you turn to the kids and say, shh, and then starts an inner dialogue about why you're justified not to answer the front door. It's just people wanting my money. It might be the FedEx or the UPS guy delivering a package. I can pick it up later. Or maybe it's somebody ringing the bell to tell me about Jesus. I already know about Jesus. And this is going to make me feel guilty for not ringing doorbells telling people about Jesus. Or maybe it's publisher clearinghouse bringing me $5 million. Yeah, I could hire a butler to answer the door. Or maybe it's a neighbor who needs some help, and that would be a legit reason to get off the couch, but it's probably not. Or maybe it's the neighborhood kids wanting sponsorship money, which I've become way more tolerant of since my kids have needed sponsorship money. And you start ramping up that inner dialogue of justification, and then the alarm sounds a third time. And reluctantly, you get off the couch and you go answer the front door. What happens next? My kids love it when the doorbell rings. It represents adventure, excitement, opportunity. So what happens as we get older? Life happens. And history tells us that when the doorbell rings, it can often represent disruption, challenge, maybe even growth. So let's put ourselves on the other side of the front door for a moment, because our front doors tell a story about us. This front door of LifeBridge tells a story about our church. How welcoming are we out in the lobby? What does our kids' area look like? What does it look like in here? What happens during our worship service all tells a story. Our front doorstep tells a story. Our front door mat tells a story. What does your front door mat look like? Does it look like this? Is it telling a welcoming story? That's pretty common, isn't it? Or maybe this. Here's a Christmas gift idea for our lead pastor. Or maybe this one. This tells a story of a bit of a prankster, a joker. That's kind of funny. I'd enjoy that one. Or this one tells another kind of story. Or maybe you've encountered a security door that tells the story of fear and caution, which is sometimes justified in urban areas, isn't it? Or maybe you've seen a sign like this one at a front door: no soliciting, no flyers, cards, we have lawn care, we're not interested in a free estimate for anything, and whatever it is, we won't buy it, thank you. Don't try and sell them anything. Or doorbells now that have cameras in them. Ring the doorbell and smile, you're on candid camera. Because life and relationships begin at the front door. And who you let in will determine who you are and the relationships that you are investing in. And so our homes can sometimes be like fortresses with double locked doors and cameras in the doorbell, letting us see who's on the outside wanting in. And you can argue that all this security is a good thing. We need to be careful. After all, people want our money. And we've read articles in the news about crimes that happen when you let the wrong people in through the front door. And then our text today, and you can turn right now, if you've got your Bibles with you, to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33. I'm gonna flip around a lot today, so get ready for this. Paul writes, "Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character." Makes sense. And then flip over to the second letter to Timothy, chapter 3, verse 1 to 5. Paul again writes to Timothy, "But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, have nothing to do with such people." Paul, firstly there, is writing to the believers in Corinth and then to his beloved protege Timothy, saying, be careful who you let in. As Mama used to say, show me who you're with and I'll tell you who you are. Or a crass statement that was attributed to Benjamin Franklin was, if you lie down with dogs, you'll get up with fleas. Simply translated as, be careful the company you keep. And so we're doing this series all about the foundation upon which we're building our relationships. John Roan writes that we're the average of the five people we spend the most time with. Think about that. Do a mental inventory of those five people. That statement is rightly telling us to be watchful of who we let in. There's a fine line as we hear Jesus' words in Matthew 5, to be salt and light in the world around us, balanced with a warning in Romans 12, 2, to not conform to the world. So today, I want to break this down into two main questions we need to be asking ourselves. Who are you letting in and how are you stepping out? Who are you letting in and how are you stepping out? But first, I want to mess a little bit with this analogy of the front door and try and drag us into 2019. You see, I'm from the X generation. We've got a few Generation X's in here. We vaguely remember life before all this technology, email, internet, social media. We've got some boomers in the room that totally remember when life was a lot simpler. But also part of our wonderful multi-generational church family and community is a whole lot of millennials and Generation Z peeps who wonder how we ever even put our pants on in the morning without all this technology. Frankly, I wonder how we're keeping up. The rate of technological advancement is mind-boggling. A few weeks ago, I rented a car that practically drove itself. It was great, it was fun, until I got back into my own car that doesn't practically drive itself, and I practically drove myself into the back of the car in front of me. You see, AI, or artificial intelligence, is causing us to shift our brains into neutral. That's why I love it that we're talking about real topics and issues like the relationships that we're building. Don't miss a week of this series. As a Generation Xer, when I was a kid, freedom was when we got our driver's license. Not anymore. Freedom today is when you get your first what? Your first cell phone. That unlocks the wonders of the world. We know this only too well in our house because we just got our oldest, our 12-year-old Joey's, we just got him his first cell phone for his 12th birthday. He started middle school last week and he's on a competitive basketball team, so there's travel and carpooling, we need to be connected. And we have approached this new season of life with much fear and trembling. I have locked this thing down with so much security and filtering. He's wondering how he can even use it. It has Apple's screen time capabilities, which is a gift to parents. At home, we've put Disney Circle filtering on our home internet so we can make sure our boys aren't going anywhere they shouldn't be going. We've also put an app on the phone called Covenant Eyes, which was designed to help adults live free from pornography, but now it's helping families be protected from pornography because even though you mightn't be looking for it, it will find you and potentially hook you at a young age. With the help of friends that have been through this, we put together a contract for Joey to read, agree to, and sign. I remember saying to him, mate, we need to have a little chat before we give you your birthday present this year, and his face fell. I said, what's wrong? He said, I don't want to have a chat. I know what you want to talk about. Well, I realized that he thought he was going to get another installment of the sex talk on his birthday. I don't know what he thought we were giving him, but you should have seen his attitude change when he realized he was getting a phone with a real live SIM card. I can show you the world. Shining, shimmering, splendid, a whole new world, a fantastic point of view. No one to tell us no or where to go. Freedom today is a phone. So I'm gonna contradict myself somewhat here to what I preached a few moments ago and say that yes, the address of our front door here at LifeBridge is 10345 Ute Highway, Longmont, Colorado. But just as much, and maybe even more so, the address of our front door here is also www.lbcc.org. Just like your front door is an email address, is a phone number, and all the different devices we use multiple times daily. Just like blueprints have become now mostly digital, so our front door is as much technology as it is the lockable one on the street where you live. Never has life been more convenient, yet so complicated. Never have we been so connected, yet potentially so compromised. So who and what are you letting in through your front door? Because do not be misled, Paul says. Bad company corrupts good character. And just like we're running Joey's device exploration through a bunch of safety filters, here's a few things that I'd encourage you to add to your filter this morning of who and what you let in through your front door, literally and virtually. And I want to start this morning with who, and I'm going to go back to Paul's words and read them again to Timothy chapter 2. Sorry, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, because he tells Timothy to mark this. Mark this. There will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. I have nothing to do with such people. So here's a few B statements, let's call them B attitudes, that I'm going to suggest that you add to your filter of who you're letting through the front door. Firstly, be discerning. Be discerning. It's okay to leave the screen door shut for a bit while you get to know somebody. Don't just throw open the front door and let anybody in, because that's a pretty scary list that Paul puts down there. Not to mention when we get to verse 5, that's when I start to get really nervous when Paul says, beware of those people that appear godly but deny its power. So pay attention to the fruit you are seeing in people's lives and who they're giving the credit. Is it all about them? Be in tune. Be in tune with what your gut instinct is telling you and the discernment God has given you through the Holy Spirit. We call it the Holy Spirit traffic light with our boys. I say, tune into what color it is. Tune in. Be aware of questionable motives. And it's flashing orange or it's flashing red. Be careful. Jesus had little tolerance for hypocrites. Be yourself. Really popular writer, speaker, Brené Brown talks and writes a lot about vulnerability. And one of the things I like that she says is the difference between fitting in and belonging. If we have to fit in, we need to change ourselves. But if we belong, we show up as ourselves and who God created to be. I know how I want to show up in those most important relationships that Matt talked about last week. I want to belong. How about be self-aware? I get to do a lot of leadership coaching these days. I love it. One of the things I've learned about great leaders is a high value is self-awareness. Understanding your story and your personality type and how it shows up in your relationships. So show up in your secure, healthy self, not in your insecure, stressed out, unhealthy self. And be aware of when that's shifting and changing. And be honest. Be honest when you need to have a tough conversation with somebody that you're in relationship with. Be honest about when maybe you need to shut the screen door for a bit, or be honest about when you even need to shut the door on a relationship. As we live and grow to be more like Jesus, we need to remember that while he had an open door, grace-giving way, he did shut the door pretty firmly on people who would damage others' faith. Just like he responded to the Pharisees when they were muttering about the anointing of his feet, or when the disciples got in the way of the children coming to Jesus, or when Peter in Matthew 16:23 got in the way of Jesus' mission. We should shut the door on people who would damage others. Listen to Matthew 18:6. If any one of these little ones, if anyone causes one of these little ones, those who believe in me, to stumble, it would be better for them to have a large millstone hung around their neck and be drowned in the depths of the sea. Those are Jesus' words. So maybe you need to have a tough conversation this week, one you've been putting off. You know, I've found that a good way to have those kinds of conversations is to say, you know, the story that I'm telling myself is this. And then laying out your point of view, and then letting the other person lay out their point of view and work out if there's a way forward. Is there a tough conversation you need to have this week? So let's shift now from who to what we are letting in through our front door, our virtual front door through technology. You see, our society is addicted to technology and social media. We now live in a TGIF world, Twitter, Google, Instagram and Facebook. and it's not reality. It breeds comparison, can be extremely harmful to relationships, and it's highly addicted. So control it. Do not let it control you. So I'm going to suggest we have our own agreement, our own contract, whether it be written down or internal. And a really good thing to put in that contract is no devices in the bedroom. Isolation breeds bad stuff sometimes. I read books and I read the Bible on my phone. And so that's a tough one for me, and I've had to learn to do that offline, because I can be reading and suddenly there's all these pop-ups happening, and I'm responding to a text, or I'm checking email, or I'm reading news articles that I was not even interested in to begin with. And before I know it, I'm on social media and it's the middle of the night, and that's not a good thing. Or how about this one? No devices at the meal table. Because when you open that virtual front door at the meal table, you're letting all kinds of things into that sacred space, and you are telling the people that you're with that that stuff is more important than they are. And you know what? It's amazing how many things in casual conversation trigger, "Hey Siri" or "Alexa." Have you been interrupted during a mealtime by that? I'm sure you have. I've got a friend who is very strict about this, and he has that no devices at the meal table policy, especially when they're out to dinner at a restaurant. And as part of that rule, whoever actually ends up checking their device at the meal table ends up paying the check. They end up picking up the bill. And you just realized how to get somebody to pay for lunch today, didn't you? What are you reading? What are you watching? Are you a Netflix or Hulu junkie? Do you struggle with that 30-second turnaround between episodes? You know what I'm talking about. The next episode starts in 30, 29, 28. It gives you a little list of what's going to happen in the next episode, 24, 23. You start to have the inner dialogue. Will I, won't I? Will I, won't I? 15, 14. It's only 45 minutes. 5, 4. And before you know it, you've watched the whole series. It's 2 o'clock in the morning. You go to bed and you start dreaming about being one of the characters in the series. Not good. We could go on and on, but here's a filter for what you are letting in through your virtual front door. And it comes, interestingly enough, straight from the Apostle Paul in Philippians 4, verse 8. Listen, he says, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Or Paul might say today, read, watch, Google, post, and look at such things. Friends, I'm preaching to myself this morning. My inventory needs some work. How's your front door? And while you might be making a literal list or a mental list of things that you need to look at, that you need to pay attention to, or maybe you need to fix, let's go from a defensive posture to an offensive one. It's great to talk about what we're not going to let in through our front doors, but how are we stepping outside our front doors and pursuing relationships with others? I referenced Jesus' words in Matthew 5, verses 13 to 16 earlier. Here they are. "You are the salt of the earth," he says. "But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." Simplified, Jesus is saying, we bring a unique flavor to the world. Bring it. Don't lose it. Be yourself. We have this light, this great story to tell that will only get told, will only shine if we tell it and if we shine it. So, how are we stepping out? We're going to start this time with technology, because never have we had the kind of platform we have in today's day and age with social media. It's amazing. It can also be very damaging. So I want to give you a few things to think about for your filter in how you're stepping out when you open the virtual front door and post online. How about be encouraging? Is it God honoring? Does it reflect the values that I want to be known for? And maybe you're not sure what those values are, and a great exercise for you might be sitting down and listing the 5 or 10 top values that you want to be known for in your relationships and as you post online. And one of them should be fun. Good, wholesome fun. What about be faith-filled? If God's doing great things in your life, let it show up in what you post online. Now, I'm not suggesting everybody has already decided to follow Jesus. And if you're checking this out this morning, we are so glad you're here. But if you are on the faith continuum and God is doing great things in your life, let it show up in what you post in an authentic, humble kind of way. Because make no mistake, in this digital age of information saturation, people are hungering for truth. And I'm not talking about a soapbox. Because social media can quickly become a soapbox where everybody talks and nobody listens. And in my opinion, here's my humble advice, don't be political. Because getting political degenerates quickly into not respecting each other's opinions really fast. You can't control that. And here's another one. This is pretty simple and obvious, but it needs to be said anyway this morning. When you step out of your virtual front door and post online, friends, think. God gave you a brain, use it. Is it glorifying? Is it building me up or is it building into other people? Does everybody really need to see a picture of everything you're about to eat and drink? Is what I'm posting, is it an obstacle to other people experiencing and seeing God's grace through me? A friend and fellow pastor and online content provider, Todd Clark, has a great acronym for that word. He says, when you're posting, is it true? Is it helpful? Is it inspiring? Is it necessary? And is it kind? Is it true, helpful, inspiring, necessary, kind? And I'm going to let you think about that for a minute. Finally, how are we stepping out of our literal front doors and pursuing relationships with others? Here at LifeBridge, we have always been about getting outside of our front doors, getting in the stream of life, not standing on the bank, yelling at the stream going by. A huge value for us has been crossing the street and pursuing relationship with our neighbors. One of the many things I loved about what Matt said during his interview process to become our next lead pastor was that he wanted to be a part of building not the best church in the community, but the best church for the community. Because friends, the boat can be in the water without the water being in the boat. Our prayer shouldn't be, God, take us out of the world. It should be, God, lead us through the world. Who you are and how God uniquely created you to be you will make a big deal of Him when we're interruptible and we let our lights shine. Philippians 2:5 talks about in our relationships simply being like Jesus. Look it up. There's some homework for you. Philippians 2:5, be like Jesus. There have been times when I've been sitting on my couch and that alarm has gone off, aka the front doorbell, and I've gotten up and answered the front door, and it wasn't a Boy Scout. It wasn't the sweepstakes, and it wasn't the carpet salesman. It was a neighbor. A neighbor there to remind me of all the value that I can bring to the world out there and all the value that world can bring to me. I think of our street. I think of Mary Jo over the road who tutors our boys and the value that her and Paul bring to our family. I think of Gail a few doors down who's like a member of our family and is always asking after us and interested in what we're doing and bringing things that will interest us. I think of Janet, who gives us a card for every single occasion. And now her and Jerry come to church here at LifeBridge. I think of Richard, who checks in on our house when we're gone. I think of our new neighbors, who we're loving getting to know, the Griggs. I think of 10 years of conversations and even prayers prayed, life shared. I think of connections that have led to holy moments, unexpected holy moments. I remember a couple of years ago doing the neighborhood walk, fundraising walk with the boys for their school fund run. As parents, we love those walks. I said to Joey, you better get a good business pitch if you want to earn some money. So he put his little pitch together and we knocked on Bob's door, a couple doors down over the road. Bob opened the door and listened politely to Joey's pitch and then gave them a nice donation. Not long after, Bob's sweet wife, Sherry, was diagnosed with an inoperable brain tumor. Gail took a risk and said that she would pray for them, told them that, and they trusted her. And when she suggested that they invite me through their front door to journey with them through that time, they invited me in. I'm so glad I stepped out. I'm so glad they opened their front door to me, and I will forever treasure that season. The visits, the stories, the questions about faith, the prayers we prayed, the laughter, the tears, the real life we shared, and the death that we walked through. The honor of getting to officiate Sherry's funeral service and now journey with Bob as he's had to learn to live again without his soulmate. And to know the truth of 1 Thessalonians 4, that even though he grieves, it's not without hope. I'll be forever grateful that Bob opened his front door to me and that I stepped out of my front door and went to him. Because friends, you can't just sit on the couch eating your chips and salsa. You got to get up and you got to answer the front door. And what happens next? Well, that's the great adventure of life, isn't it? Because at the end of it all, it's the relationships that are going to matter. And you're never alone if you've answered this. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. Open the front door afresh to relationship with Jesus every day. And maybe you need to open the door to him for the very first time today and know a hope and a joy and a peace and a purpose and an eternal future that you could never have imagined. Or maybe you've just been sitting on the couch for way too long, ignoring that knock, and you need to open it afresh to him today. Or maybe there's a tough conversation you've got to have with somebody that you're in relationship with and you don't want to have it, but you'd like prayer or you'd like to chat with somebody this morning. Whatever you need, at the end of our time together, just stay seated where you are and somebody on our team will come and chat with you, come and pray with you. But this week, ask these two questions. Who are you letting in? And how you're stepping out. And in all of it, pray that God will surround you above and below, before and behind, that his grace will permeate all of our relationships, because his love is found at the front door. You just got to get off the couch. Let's stand and sing this prayer together as we close.